And Brother Tisdale is with us this morning. Good morning, Brother Tisdale.
Good morning to you, Donna. It's good to be here again. I appreciate the privilege and the blessing of being able to look into the Word of God with you folks. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read a few verses in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. And then I'm going to read a little bit from Mr. Oswald Chambers' little book. Help us understand some purposes that the Lord has for us. You know, when you wake up and find out that being saved isn't just about getting to go to heaven, it opens up a whole nother world for you. Amen. Ephesians 1:15 says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's what he prayed. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And then it says in verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, that you may know. He wants us to know what is the hope of His calling. That we would know what His purpose is. You see, if God just wanted you in heaven, that would be a simple thing. All He's got to do is take your breath away from you. Mm-hmm. He's got a purpose here for you here in the earth. He says He was praying that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You are God's inheritance. He has a purpose and a plan for you here in the earth. Amen. And so I want to read to you a little bit from Mr. Oswald Chambers' little book, My Utmost for His Highest. And he quotes that verse, Ephesians 1:18, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, he says. Now, he says, remember what you are saved for. Most folks don't even really know. They were told that they got saved so they could go to heaven and miss hell. Well, that's part of the truth. He says, remember what you are saved for, that the Son of God might be manifested in your mortal flesh. Yeah, did any of y'all ever think that and realize that God Almighty doesn't have a physical body? The Bible says He's spirit. And you say, well, what's that got to do with me? Well, everything, because you have a body. And his purpose is to indwell you in such a way that the Son of God might be manifested in your mortal flesh. That's what Mr. Chambers is talking about. Remember what you are saved for, that the Son of God might be manifested in your mortal flesh. Then he says, bend the whole of your powers to realize or to make real your election as a child of God. After you're saved, there's something you do. He did the saving.
He did the hard part.
Yeah. But now, well, we got a hard part too, because we don't think like that. We haven't been taught to think that way. If you teach people how to think, well, then it's not so hard, but we mostly weren't taught how to think in that way. Bend the whole energy of your powers to realize your election as a child of God. Rise to the occasion every time. There will be opposition. See, mm-hmm. Once you begin to find out who you are, what you possess, and what you can do in Christ, then you become a threat to the enemy, and there's opposition. The devil don't care if you go to church. He'll go to church with you. Mm-hmm. And fact is, he does.
There's folks take him with them.
Yeah, that's right. So he says, you cannot do anything for your salvation, but you must do something to manifest it, to make that salvation apparent in your life. It's hidden in most of us because we don't know what we're supposed to do. We weren't taught. You cannot do anything for your salvation, but you must do something to manifest it. You must work out what God has worked in. Are you working it out with your words, your tongue, your brain, and your nerves? Oh, yeah. If you were still the same miserable cross patch set on your own way. What is that? What's he talking about? If you were still the same miserable cross patch. Has the indwelling of the Spirit of God changed anything in your life? Are you still unhappy? Are you still resentful? Are you still bitter? Are you still distressed and disturbed because things aren't going exactly the way you would have them to go? See, when you begin to find out that you weren't put here in this earth to have your way, that's a hard thought for many of us.
We don't like that.
We don't like that because I thought life was supposed to be how I thought it was going to be.
It's all about me.
Yep. That's not. It's not. If you're still the same miserable cross patch set on your own way, then it is a lie to say that God has saved and sanctified you.
Wow.
A new birth brings about change. Yeah, sure does. Mm. God is the master engineer. He allows. Now listen to this. Listen, if you haven't turned me off by now. Mm-hmm. He allows the difficulties to come in order to see if you can vault over them properly. God sends difficulties into your life. He engineers your circumstance. You say, well, I thought the devil was doing it. Well, that's what they told you. And the devil's your opponent. He really is. He's the adversary. That's what the word Satan means, adversary. But he's a defeated one. The scripture says he is as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is not a lion, he's as one. And he's only seeking whom he may. He's looking for permission. Through our fear, doubt, and unbelief, we give him permission. I watched a guy do that yesterday. A man that's born again, spirit-filled. A man that's called and chosen of God. But he sat and moaned and groaned because things were hard. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. This man with his mouth was giving the enemy permission to run over him. And really, he should know better. But because it didn't feel good, because there was pressure and problems, and he thought, he's thinking that, you know, well, it shouldn't be that hard.
Who
said that? Yeah, it's like the Lord told Adam, who told you were naked? You know, where'd you learn that? Well, this man knows the truth, but he's not applying it. I know he knows the truth because I've heard him say it. God engineered, listen, God is the master engineer. He allows the difficulties to come in order to see if you can or will vault over them properly. David said, by my God, I have leaped over a wall, run through a troop, he said. There's warfare. There's opposition. It's going to be there all the time. If you're expecting to get out of this world without it, you have a wrong expectation. And that's the difficulty and the problem with a lot of Christian people. I'm not questioning anybody's salvation. I'm questioning their understanding of how things really are. You say, well, I thought it was all supposed to be pleasant. Not here. This is the proving ground. Really. Here in this present evil world, it's a proving ground to prove out. That's why Paul said to not be conformed to this world. Don't let the world shape and mold your thinking. Don't let this present evil world shape and mold your doing, but be transformed, changed by changing your thinking, renewing your mind. You have to renew your mind according to the Word of God and begin to say what God says about you and act in line with what God's Word says about you. You say, well, it doesn't work. Oh, yeah, it does. You just not letting it work because you said it once or twice and then you got discouraged, didn't see it. Mm-hmm. A farmer, when he puts seed in the ground, doesn't go out the next day and find a crop. Mm-hmm. You got to let it grow up. And the seed of the Word of God that's been planted in you is an eternal seed. It's an uncreated seed. It's been put in you, and it does work, but you have to allow it to, and you have to cooperate with that seed. Okay. It says he allows. Well, I've turned the thing off. Hang on a second. He allows the difficulties to come in order to see if you can vault over them properly. By my God, I have leaped over a wall. Listen to this. God will never shield you from any of the requirements of a son or daughter of his. He didn't shield it. The firstborn, the only begotten, why would he shield you? Because what the firstborn did is made possible everything for us, everything that he became, except the Savior and the Deliverer. He sent us his life through the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to enable us to be in this earth. Jesus said, all that I am, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do. He said, because I go to my Father. 1 John 14:12. All right. Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Well, I didn't want that. Mm-mm. I didn't either, but God doesn't need your permission.
Mm. He's God.
He absolutely does not need your permission. And he's not necessarily interested in your comfort or your convenience. He's interested in your character being conformed to that of the Lord Jesus.
He didn't send us to be comfortable. Mm-mm. He sent us to be comforters.
That's right. That's a good thought. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Rise to the occasion. Do the thing. It does not matter if or how it hurts, as long as it gives God the chance to manifest himself in your mortal flesh. Now, that's not a message that we like to hear. That's not one of them shouting messages. You know, too many people want to shout. I can remember, I watched that early on. I'm seeing people, the anointing of the Spirit of God come on them, and all they want to do was shout and run. And have a good time. And it occurred to me one day that that anointing was about something more than a shout and a run. Goosebumps and that kind of stuff. We've actually misused, wasted, dissipated the anointing just to have a shout and a run. Feel good. Let me just say it to you this way, brothers and sisters. Jesus is not Dr. Feel Good. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan.
And we still make it all about us when we have to go to a place that makes us feel good.
That's right.
If we don't learn that lesson, we go around that bush one more time.
It ain't a bush. It's a mountain.
It's bigger than a bush.
Some of us got a ditch we've been that we're walking in. We've been around it so many times. Mm-hmm. So it does not matter how it hurts, as long as it gives God the chance to manifest himself in your mortal flesh. You see, God wants his agape, his love, his peace, his joy, his goodness, his kindness, all of that made manifest. Go read Galatians 5, 19 through 22, I believe it is, where it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Or I could say it this way, the evidence of the Spirit of God in your life. Love and joy and peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, kindness, temperance, faith. All of those things are evidence that the Spirit of God indwells you, is working in and through your life. And here's another little thought. That fruit is not for you. The Lord said to me one day, he said, orange trees don't eat oranges. The fruit is for another purpose. The fruit that we bear, the fruit of the Spirit that's produced in our life, is not for us. It's for others.
Amen.
May God...
And are we willing to let other people pick from our fruit?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. And then he says, may God not find the whine in us anymore. Are you whining about what's going on in your life, somebody said, give them a little cheese with that wine. Mm-hmm. Just recognize the reality of how God works and what His purpose is. here's the bottom line, brothers and sisters. Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He said, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness, and then the end will come. Well, I thought about that one day here some years back, and it dawned on me that the end hadn't come, and that meant the gospel of the kingdom hadn't been preached in all the world. Now, you say, well, yeah, it has. No, a gospel has been preached. A gospel of heaven and hell, which is a portion or a part of the gospel. Heaven and hell is, it's reality. That's real places. But Jesus didn't come preaching heaven and hell. He came preaching the kingdom or the rule of God in a man's life. And he demonstrated to us by his life how a man under the rule of God could live and should live. And so, he had opposition. He had difficulty. He didn't just walk through this earth with no pressure, no problems. He's the Son of God, but he's the Son of God who came also as the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man nearly as often as he's actually more times than he called himself the Son of God. And so he says, may God not find the whine in us anymore, but may he find us full of spiritual pluck and athleticism, ready to face anything. Are you willing to take up your cross and follow him? Jesus said, you can't be my disciple if you don't take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He didn't say you couldn't be saved. He just said, you can't be my disciple. Now, you say, you mean being saved and being a disciple is not the same thing? Nope. No, it's not. So, may he find us full of spiritual pluck and athleticism, ready to face anything that he brings. We have to exercise ourselves in order that the Son of God may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You can't just sit there. You can't just show up for church once in a while. It isn't just a matter that you read your Bible once in a while. It's a matter of you learning how to live. Mm-hmm. Learning how to allow Almighty God to have access to you. He has given you, Ephesians 2:18 says, through him, talking about Jesus, through him, by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. God Almighty has given you access to him, to himself. The question is, have we given him access to us? The Son of God wants to be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Chambers says this, God never has museums. He won't just make you something and set you up on a shelf someplace and display you as... No, he wants you out in the...
Usable.
Yeah. Hmm. Things in museums you can't even touch. Mm-hmm. God doesn't have museums. The only aim of the life is that the Son of God be manifested and all dictation to God vanishes. Now when he says, and he says something here, the only aim of the life, he's not just talking about your natural life. He's talking about the life of the Son of God that has been placed in you. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. The only aim of the life is that the Son of God may be manifested in our mortal bodies and that all dictation to God vanishes. That's what people, most folks do when they pray. They dictate to God. Here's what they do. They tell God the problem and then they tell God how to fix it. Mm-hmm. That's mostly what we've called prayer, dictating to God.
The next time we pray, we tell God, why didn't he fix it yet?
Yeah, and what's the matter? Mm-hmm. And then we get upset and go get in a huff and get mad at God because he didn't do what I thought he should do. Well, it's that work supposed to work the other way, boys and girls. We're supposed to be listening to what he's saying and doing what he says. Amen. That's the deal. He says this, Chambers says this, our Lord Jesus never dictated to his Father. And we are not here to dictate to God. We are here to submit to his will so that he may work through us what he wants. Huh. What a surprise. Let me read that again.
What a concept.
Our Lord never dictated to his Father. And we are not here to dictate to God. We are here to submit to his will so that he may work through us what he wants. When we realize this, now, I discovered something one day. The word realize means to come to the understanding of, but there is another meaning besides that. When you realize something, it means this, that you have made that real in your life. You realize it. You not only recognize, but you realize. You make it real in your life. When we make this real in our lives, then he makes us to be broken bread and poured out wine to feed and nourish others. See, God's whole plan is about man. He created this earth for man. He didn't create man for the earth. He created the earth first for man. Put man here. God's purpose is man. A being that he created that's like himself. He created us in his image. And when we learned to be, listen to this, learn to be Father-centered and others-focused, then we are in the place of fulfilling God's plan in our lives. We be Father-centered and others-focused. We mostly centered on ourselves and focused on ourselves.
Yes.
That's our problem, in a nutshell.
Even when we do things for other people, a lot of times we're thinking, what am I going to get out of it?
Yeah, well, I'm doing this. They're going to love me more. They're going to this, that, and this. I'm going to get something
out of
this.
Somebody's going to see me as great.
Yeah, Jesus, when he came, boys and girls, Jesus didn't do anything for himself. It was all for obedience to his Father and his love for us. His love for the Father was manifested in his love for us. And so that's what he's looking for from you and me as his sons and daughters. But we have to learn how to do that. We come, actually, when we're born into this world, we are actually opposed to God. Don't even know it. We're actually opposed to him. And that's why we need a new birth. We're bent away from God and towards the creation. And what God wants is for us to be bent towards him and obedient to him in respect to the creation. How to love men. How to serve God by serving mankind. It's a whole other thought. So, just remember, God is the master engineer. He allows the difficulties to come in order to see if you can vault over them properly. I was telling some folks just last night, it's all a test. When you wake up every day, tell yourself this. It's all a test. Nothing is just as it seems. See, God's working in your life. God has a purpose and plan in your life. But it's about training you, discipling you to become conformed to the image of the firstborn, the only begotten of the Father, who is now the firstborn. So we have to change our mind. We have to change our understanding. And it's contrary to what... Listen, I've been in church all my life. And what I'm saying to you 40 years ago, I'd have said you're crazy if I heard somebody say that. Because nobody was teaching me that. Nobody was saying that kind of stuff. But it's right out the book, right out of the Bible. It's really, we have to take our religious glasses off so we can see. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your kindness. I thank you, Lord, for your blessing in our lives. I thank you, Father, that you oversee and overshadow our lives, and you lead us by your Spirit. You lead us into the truth of your Word by your Spirit. And Lord, I ask that you'd continue to illuminate the eyes of our understanding in these things. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.